Hour number two of the Blitz live on Fan Run Radio. Lucas, I don't like this. I don't like it, not one bit.
What, running the board?
Well, just, I mean, I don't mind running the board. It's just running the board and bringing us back. Chance, Nate came in and took my, he took Charlie right in the middle of the show.
I was going to say, where did Charlie go? He just took him.
Yeah. I mean, what can you say when the boss man says, get out here?
There he is.
You got to do what you got to do.
I know. All right.
Like, have to get out there.
All right. No, Charlie. You're going to come back over here. And I'm going to go away for just a second.
Shout out to Rick and his boys on our bachelor party. Lucas, you said something about you felt like Rick and yourself are too young for weddings. I'm telling you hit that age at 25. That's when all my friends started getting married, generally started having kids. It's about the 24 to 25 range. That's when you start getting all the wedding invitations. That's when you start seeing all the Facebook posts at New Year's Eve, at Christmas, at Valentine's Day. I'm telling you, it's 24, 25. You're going to start to see those too.
Which I still think is too early.
That's like, I mean, perfect.
In today's time, it is lower. I mean, Charlie wants to be married within a year is what he told us not 3 weeks ago.
No, not me.
I said that.
It's too soon. You did say that.
You said you wanted to be married within like the next year.
Yeah, I stand by it. I want to be engaged in a year. In a year from
you
now.
You want to be engaged while you're in your last year of college.
Yep. Last semester. I'll just, pop a little question guy real quick. A little fiancé.
Seems like a bad plan. I want to know, did you win that? Did you win that competition?
Oh, wait,
outside?
No, you guys are giving me an arranged marriage. I forgot we agreed to that.
You still have to find a girlfriend first.
No, you guys are arranging the marriage.
I want to know, did you win? Did you win the competition? Did you beat Houston?
I think Houston won, but I think we also decided that wasn't going to be the real competition since two of us were in flip-flops and we needed like a better circumstances. I don't really know.
Did y'all race?
No, it was
affect your footwork.
It was football toss. The old football toss.
I mean, I can tell you right now, I'm in very little. I'm not in a great position to win a throw off right now. My wrist is pretty messed up, and I'm pretty
tired.
Not
in football shape right now.
No, I just have a messed up wrist right now.
Oh, okay.
Do you all have
effects of quarantine?
Do y'all have y'all remember Field Day?
That's pretty good.
Of course.
Remember the old football toss.
Or
some of the other
events. for the kids that miss out on Field Day in 2020.
Field Day was the best.
We actually didn't have a football toss at my Field Day. We had a softball toss and like baseball toss, which was pretty cool for all the baseball players. You talk about the kids missing out on Field Day. Knox County actually did a cool thing to where they brought the kids back for a Field Day.
A socially distanced Field Day?
Yeah, they had an actual couple days lined up, and they brought the kids back for Field Day, whose parents wanted to bring them back.
When I was in second grade, I got in trouble, and for Field Day, I had to sit in a chair by the window all day and watch Field Day while I copied pages from a book.
What did you do?
I'm sure you deserved it.
Field Day. What'd you do?
I don't even remember that time. I got in a lot of trouble.
That's an old school punishment, too. Just sitting there writing sentences. I mean,
not only that, but there's like, you're going to sit at this table and face the window and watch.
Well, at least you got to look out the window and you weren't like staring at a wall.
At all the people
having
fun on
all
Field
your buddies
Day
having
when
fun without you.
You're in second grade.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Did you have to? I feel like the worst is like when you're writing one sentence over and over.
No, it was just like a random book. The principal just like pulled it out of her backpack or her bag or whatever. It's like, oh,
just write this book.
Work on your penmanship.
I'm sure you deserved it, Charlie. I'm sure it was. I'm sure it was well deserved.
Oh yeah.
Let's get into the NFL a little bit. Jadeveon Clowney turned down an absolutely huge offer from the Cleveland Browns,
reportedly.
So has been reported, like you said, Lucas. I will turn this conversation over to the two of you because obviously, you two know more about the Tennessee Titans and this whole situation than I could possibly hope to know.
Well, everything the Titans have done this offseason only makes sense if they sign Jadeveon Clowney. But I don't really know if they're going to anymore. Like, I wouldn't really consider the Titans the favorite. I don't even know if there is a favorite at this point. Nothing really makes sense with Jadeveon right now, especially if he really did turn down that Browns offer. I mean, the Seahawks, I don't think they have the money anymore. The Jets might not be in play anymore money-wise either. And then you have the Titans who have the money right now. The Eagles who could find the money. And, you know, there have been a couple other teams rumored, like the Colts, I think, have been mentioned every once in a while. And maybe one other team, the Giants or something like that. But
here's the thing with the Titans and Clowney. I don't think the Titans sign Jadeveon Clowney if it's not a one-year deal. I don't think they shell out a bunch of money for Jadeveon Clowney for a 3-4 year deal, or at least the kind of money that he's asking for, or the kind of money that the Browns offered him for a guy who had 3 sacks and had injury problems a year ago. He's a great player, and I think there's plenty of incentive for him to come to Nashville. When you talk about Mike Vrabel, he was the defensive coordinator in Houston with Clowney's best career season statistically. They have a great relationship. He wants to go to a contender. Titans were in a conference championship. But this whole saga has just been so weird, as it started off with him asking for all that money in the neighborhood of $20 million, which was never going to happen. And then reportedly it got bumped down to 13, 12 in that range. And then it was like, what parties were in there? You mentioned some of them. Seahawks, Titans, Colts were mentioned a little bit. Obviously the Browns. So you just got to kind of read between the lines and try a process of elimination. And I think it's safe to say the Seahawks are out of the picture. When you trade up to get a defensive or a edge rusher in the second round in Darrell Taylor, and even gave his number away. But honestly, I think if the Titans don't end up with Clowney, I think that they are good with where they're at in terms of a pass rusher. People will disagree with that. You know, everybody will have their opinion on that, and you can argue it either way. But I think they're okay with the depth that they have there, with Harold Landry coming back after 8-9 sacks a year ago, re-signing Kamale Correa after he added 5 sacks, was a nice spark at the end of the year. Of course, adding Vic Beasley on a one-year prove-it deal. DeAndre Walker, who was on IR a year ago, Derek Roberson, they feel like they're deep at that position, and Clowney would just kind of put it over the top. But if it doesn't make sense from a financial standpoint, and John Robinson is really prudent when it comes to that stuff, then I think they'll be okay not doing it.
Well, the thing is, especially once you traded away Jarrell Casey, you really still need that defensive lineman that Clowney would provide.
Yeah,
I mean, sure, they drafted Merchants?
Larrell Murchison, yeah.
He'll be a valuable rotational player. He can eat up space, but you don't really have a replacement for Jarrell Casey, and the Titans really need that in this defense. And if you can get a guy like Jadeveon Clowney, he could kind of be the Kyle VandenBosch to Jeffrey Simmons, you know, Albert Haynesworth. Not saying that either of them would be as good as that duo was for that year or two, but they could have the same kind of effect on each other.
Yeah, look, I think Clowney on this Titans roster would really push it over the top, and I think if they do add him, you have to talk about the Titans as a contender if you're not talking about them already. But when it comes to Jarrell Casey, I think Jeffrey Simmons is just the replacement there. He's going to slide into that spot. And then you're looking at a defensive line with guys like Daquan Jones, Isaiah Mack, you mentioned Murchison. You know, Titans will play sets with 2 down linemen on the defensive line. Like I said, I think that they are okay with where they're at defensively right now, and adding Clowney would just be this huge bonus. I think when they traded Casey for a 7th-round pick that turned into a 6th-round pick for next year, that was just the assumption, was that, okay, well, obviously they're freeing up money to go for that big move, maybe re-sign Ryan, go get Clowney. Obviously, Logan Ryan re-signing is not going to happen. But I just don't know if that's necessarily the case, as much as it is like what the Preds did with P.K. Subban with Matt Duchene when they freed up all that money to get rid of Subban to go get Matt Duchene and a couple other guys. So basically, my point is, I think the Titans are good with where they're at, and if it doesn't make enough sense for them, they're not going to go out of their way financially to bring in Clowney.
So let's just say where's the likely landing spot right now? No one knows. Yeah.
Well,
still?
I still think the prevalent thought is that he ends up a Titan.
Still Titans.
Just because you draw the connections, and they're the one team that has consistently been in that conversation from the start. It was Seahawks and Titans were the 2 teams most mentioned in this race, and everything is pointing towards the Seahawks pulling out of it. But with the pandemic, everything is in slow motion. Everything. So I don't know. How do you gauge whether it's taking too long or not, because I don't know what those processes are, what kind of processes they have to go through for the medical. they haven't been shy about it. John Robinson has said multiple times, we've talked to Clowney, and then he's diplomatic, says we'll just do. We're always looking for good players, do what's best for the team, all that stuff. But I still think that that is the dominant thought, at least in the mid-state, that he's going to end up in Nashville, especially after this news with the Browns, when he's asking for all this money, and the Browns are like, reportedly, well, we'll give you the money. No, I'm good.
It makes a lot of sense, but the fact that it hasn't happened yet seems detrimental, I guess, to him ending up a Titan.
Yeah, it could be.
If the Titans have the roster they have right now, they're more than capable of winning the AFC South, but I don't think they're capable of really competing for that AFC Championship, because that pass rush wasn't good enough last year to take them to being, you know, an elite team. That's why they lost the game against the Chiefs. It wasn't that the offense struggled. It was that the pass rush wasn't good enough. The defense wasn't good enough. The Chiefs had the ball for, you know, a large portion of the second and third quarter when you could have made those offensive strides to come back in that game and stay in that game. And then the Titans just got stuck in the fourth quarter playing from behind and trying to force things, getting out of their offense.
Say it again, Chance.
Are we just going to have a Titans love fest today? I know Charlie is really excited because you're here, Lucas, and he loves Titans. And he even thought that maybe he could tell you something about the Titans today.
Oh, I didn't say that. I just said I don't need to ask people questions about the Titans. I know stuff about the Titans.
I just wonder, it's like the A block for the last 10 minutes, all you guys are doing Titans love fest.
I'm just glad to finally have someone to talk Titans with that doesn't just immediately say, Ryan Tannehill sucks. Titans suck. We won't be good. It was a flash in the pan.
It was a flash in the pan.
I mean, that's the thing about the Titans that makes them so interesting this offseason. It's because you can really make them whatever you want them to be. If you want to say that, you know, they're this flash in the pan, they won't be good again next year, you have a lot of historical numbers that can back up that argument. But if you're a Titans fan or you want to argue in favor of the Titans, you also have plenty of stats from last season, from the last 4 years, that you can back up that argument as well and say, look, the Titans can be an elite team and a perennial contender. You can really have either argument. And
Henry doing what he did this past year?
What, Chance?
Can they really be an elite team without Derrick Henry still putting up the same numbers that he just recently did?
Well, why wouldn't he put up similar numbers?
They wear and tear on a running back. He's had a lot of carries from Alabama into the league.
He really didn't have a ton of carries at Alabama compared to other guys. He had a lot his senior year.
I'm just saying, wear and tear. Also, what's his contract? He's on the tag now, right?
Yeah, he's tagged. Yeah. They're still negotiating with him right now. They like to work out a deal, but you also don't want to sign a running back to a big contract. That's understandable. It's a tough situation, but he was working out with Aaron Donald, I believe, yesterday, and Aaron Donald put a picture on, I think, his Instagram story, and somehow Derrick Henry's gotten even bigger.
Wouldn't we say it's going to be even tougher for the Titans this year? You add Phillip Rivers to the Colts. It makes the Colts so much better. You look at the Texans. I mean, I know they lost a key receiver, which is still stupid. But I feel like it's going to be even tougher for them this year.
I disagree. I mean, I like the Colts, but I don't see Phillip Rivers as a substantial upgrade over Jacoby Brissett, if we're being honest, at this point in his career. I know that's kind of a hot take. Brandon doesn't appreciate that one.
I don't necessarily disagree all that much. I think Rivers is an improvement, but I don't know if he I've seen a lot of people picking the Colts to win the division, and I don't feel overly confident about the Colts. I mean, I think they've got the pieces in place, but I'm not overly confident about Rivers at all.
If it's the same Phillip Rivers we saw a year ago, piling up passing yards and with good stats until you factor in the amount of interceptions, it's the Titans' division to lose.
Yeah, and I mean, as far as Rivers goes, I mean, he's going to have a better offensive line than he did in L.A. and
much better.
But
Rivers he can put up some numbers. I mean, like, he got a bad rap with some of those Chargers teams that he was just putting on his back, and like injuries and just always having to bring his team back because they're always down in the fourth quarter and he's always on a last minute drive trying to win the game. That's the story of Phillip Rivers. But I know. Maybe Brandon's trying to downplay it because he's a Colts fan. He's doing the whole reversal psychology. But, like, I think they're going to be a lot better. And I think that Jacoby Brissett, he can maybe win you maybe this. But Phillip Rivers can get you to the playoffs is how I look at it.
I think the Colts are a playoff team. And I think they have a very complete roster. It's definitely an upgrade roster-wise. You know, from the Chargers to the Colts, he has that offensive line. He has a run game he can rely on with Marlon Mack and Nyheim Hines and
Now Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, Jonathan Taylor, Christian Wilkins, if he makes a roster still. But or Jordan Wilkins, not Christian Wilkins.
I think you just you've got to hope for 2018 Phillip Rivers and not 2019.
The thing we started to see with Phillip Rivers last year was that his arm started to fail him, especially toward the end of games because of just his aging. There were a lot of throws that he's been able to make his whole career where he throws some pretty contested balls. He fits them into tight windows. And last year, his arm strength just wasn't quite what it had been the rest of his career. So he threw a lot of those balls shorter, not quite in the right place, and was picked off plenty of times because of that. So I don't see him necessarily being able to improve upon that because once you lose it, I mean, you lose it. I think Phillip Rivers can still be successful. I think the Colts will be a good team. As for the Texans, I love Deshaun Watson. I think he's one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL, obviously. But at the same time, if you look, a lot of his better plays came from him scrambling and then finding a DeAndre Hopkins that is just able to get open because he's the best receiver in the NFL. I'll be interested to see what he can do with Will Fuller, who's always hurt, and Kenny Stills, and I guess Kiki Kuti's back this year. I know they have another receiver I'm just blanking on right now, Brandon Cooks. I don't know if they'll be able to have as good of production because of that, even though Deshaun Watson is such a good quarterback. You don't have that wide receiver that you can just rely on like he's always had.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Colts and Titans are at the top of the division, and I think the Houston Texans are kind of one rung below losing DeAndre Hopkins. But you still have the quarterbacks. You can't discredit them too much. Let's do this. Let's take a quick break. 865-546-8200 if you want to jump in, give us your thoughts. When we come back, we'll dive into these rule changes in the NFL. Nothing too crazy, and we'll talk about the rule, the changes that they got tabled and were not passed. So we'll dive into those next. You're listening to the Blitz on Fan Run Radio.
Combined, there have been 79 onside kicks. 5 to 6% have been recovered. Last season, I don't know, I might be wrong about this, but I'm pretty sure there was one game in which an onside kick was recovered, and it was the Saints-Falcons game in which 3 onside kicks were recovered, but only one, was called back, and they did a retake and recovered it again, and then recovered another one later on. It was a Sunday Night Football game late in the season, and I believe it's the Falcons that recovered all the kicks that they didn't end up winning the game. But I think that it makes it more interesting because an onside kick – in the NFL, it's not like it is in college. The tiniest chance of it working. I just think it'd just be more entertaining for fans in general to see a 4th and 15 from the 25-yard line as opposed to an onside kick that is just such a tiny, marginally small chance that you would succeed in recovering it. I mean, a 4th and 15, if you can't stop 4th and 15 from the 25,
when you
have a lead, maybe you don't deserve to have that lead. So I am totally okay with it. I think it adds intrigue to the end of games. I think it makes the possibility of a comeback more realistic because in the NFL, let's be honest, a 14-point lead in the fourth quarter, you know, there's usually not much of a chance or not much of a reason to stick around if it's not a game you have a vested interest in.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, once the NFL implemented these new kickoff rules for the safety of kick returns, it just completely screwed over anybody that wanted – to try to successfully attempt an onside kick. So, I mean, you got to do something to kind of counter that. You know, I thought this was a pretty good idea. And again, it would be really weird. It'd be shocking to see, especially the first couple times. But I do think it could be a pretty good thing for the NFL.
I would like it. I would fully be in support of it.
And then the other one that was that they pulled out and didn't vote on was the sky judge. Is that... I assume that's similar to like the sky judge that the was the XFL or the one of those other football leagues.
In communication with officials.
Yeah. I liked that one. I liked that. I thought that was a good move, and I thought that the NFL kind of should. Yeah, right here is the AAF that had the sky judge.
They did approve a preseason experiment for it. So it we'll see it in the first four games of the preseason and see how it goes.
I would like to see the 4th and 15 in the preseason.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
Because in baseball and in basketball, you've got minor league system. You've got the G League, and you've got the minor leagues in baseball where you can kind of try new things out. I guess the NFL doesn't really have that. I mean, college football is kind of the farm system there, and I mean, you got the preseason, but don't really have anywhere to try it out. I'd like to see them try the 4th and 15 just to see what it looks like.
I think it's something that'll happen, especially as we get more and more towards moving away from kickoffs. And you can make arguments that onside kicks are right up there in terms of, you know, player safety as kickoffs with guys just from a shorter distance but still running at each other, diving for loose balls. I think it happens, but maybe just putting it on the table for this season just to get it in the minds of coaches. And if we go 2020 and there's one onside kick recovery, I feel like more coaches would be for it than against it.
Yeah, I think so too. While we're on kind of changes, was it the XFL that had the weird kickoff? Like they had changed the way that they were doing their kickoff?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember it. There was,
I can't remember exactly.
There was a line of blockers about 10 yards in front of where
the receiving team.
Yeah, where the kick returner was standing.
So that way, I can't remember exactly.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember the exact context of
it. But it was, I liked the way they did it because it still kind of worked, but as you can see how we're trending away toward high impact.
It found that middle ground of still letting a kick return, which you know can be the most exciting play of any game on any given day, and player safety. Just right. Trying to find that middle ground. But the XFL could do that. And I just have a hard time thinking that the NFL will experiment too much with that kind of stuff.
Right.
As opposed to just, you know, just making a decision one way or another.
Right. But yeah, those were the rule changes that the NFL passed, and some that they did not, with the 4th and 15 and the Sky Judge. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll dive into some other stories here. We've just got about 30 minutes left, getting you ready for Talk Sports. John, Cody, and Cam starting at noon. We'll take a quick break. Listen to the Blitz. .35 back on the Blitz. Let's do a little bit of a opening drive here in the closing quarter of the show. Fourth quarter drive.
Is this like to win the game?
I mean, it could be.
Or are we just trying to kill clock? Or
I feel like at this point we're just trying to run the clock out. We're in the last 30 minutes of the week. Go ahead and cue the music, Charlie. Last 30 minutes of the week. We're running out the clock. We got a nice lead. We're just trying to milk the clock out. That's what this drive is, Charlie. So I hope you're ready.
I am.
All right. First down. The Pac-12 announces that in-person workouts may begin on June 15th.
Great, great news.
Great sign for the Pac-12. I know they had been the conference that I think most people were kind of doubting whether or not they would play on time, if at all.
Yeah.
And now they have a date set. So if you're a college football fan, I think, or especially in the Pac-12, things are looking pretty good.
I would agree. That would be the biggest concern for college football fans. What about the Pac-12? And I just feel like the answer, will we have sports this coming fall? I think we're more towards yes than we have been throughout this whole thing. I don't think that's as much of a concern anymore, and that the conversations can very soon start becoming, how does it work with fans?
Yeah, go ahead, Chance.
I was going to say, we're going to have football, and just like we talked about before, I mean, the SEC kind of got everything going, and you saw, you know, now the Pac-12, the Big Ten, everybody's going back to practices. We're going to get the football we want.
Second down, minor league baseball, as far as minor league baseball is concerned, there have been hundreds of players that have been cut from minor league baseball teams due to the coronavirus pandemic. Let's see here. As far as an official number, team officials said that a vast majority of the players likely would have been released toward the end of spring training, even if baseball hadn't been halted by the coronavirus. But the number could wind up being more than 1,000. But nevertheless, these players have been cut.
Did you see that that one Mets player that got cut, Brandon? That went on Instagram and just exposed the Mets for how terribly they're run.
Well, you think you're telling me something I don't know? You think I don't know how terrible the Mets are run?
Well, he talked a little bit about Tim Tebow, too, and that really – they lost their standing with a lot of minor leaguers when they continued to promote a celebrity that wasn't really actually succeeding rather than guys that earned it.
I'm not a huge fan of having Tim Tebow on my Mets. I think it's just kind of a waste of a spot.
But. When it comes to minor league baseball, I think that will always be a theme that, you know, making money for whatever franchise it is, usually most cases will outweigh signing players that could probably perform better than Tebow. When Michael Jordan was playing for the Birmingham Barons, you could have made the same argument. A lot of people were not happy about that, as we saw in The Last Dance just a couple of weeks ago. But has there been a single piece of good news, good PR for Major League Baseball this calendar year?
Maybe that one Cubs spring training game where they mic'd up Rizzo and Bryant and had a fun time.
I don't think there has been, and this is – baseball's missing out. We keep talking about this. Like, they should be back playing and trying to get fans. Like, they are missing out on a prime marketing opportunity. Like, think about what NASCAR is doing, showing midweek races. Like, baseball should be back in the mix right now.
Yeah, I mean, they had a huge opportunity to kind of have all eyes on baseball, and it's not a good look. Not a good look for baseball. Third down – as we kind of let off the show, we'll rehash it a little bit. JT Daniels, former five-star recruit and transfer from USC, has found a new home in the SEC East as he will be transferring to the University of Georgia. Announced that yesterday. And as we mentioned earlier on, we'll probably have to sit out, but JT Daniels going to Georgia.
Yeah, as we mentioned, just the latest in a trend of high-profile transfers, and I think a lot of it just depends on Todd Monken and that system that is run around him, and we likely will not get to see it until 2021.
And fourth down, it's not really a headline, but Brandon Kennedy, I'm not sure if you all have seen it, I'm sure you have, but the Slice podcast that the University of Tennessee has been putting out on a weekly basis, having players on there and doing some interviews. It's been really good, but they had Brandon Kennedy on this past week, and he was talking about the one characteristic that stands out the most to him about Jeremy Pruitt, and this is what he had to say. Thing I love most about Pruitt is that he's honest. As a coach and everything, that's the number one thing that an athlete or a student athlete recruit, that's the number one thing you look for. You just want somebody to be honest with you, kind of tell you how it is. Sometimes the truth hurts. You know, like constructive criticism and something that you need to improve and things like that. So that's the one thing that I admire most about Coach Pruitt. And also put that into my incorporate that into my leadership. So Brandon Kennedy with praise about Coach Pruitt, about being honest, somebody to just tell it like it is. And I think if you go back to his time at Alabama, I think you hear players say the same thing. Players love to play for him. He tells it like it is. And I think this is just my opinion. I think that's why you've seen the recruiting kind of take off the way it has. I think that, and I think the university's done a great job kind of getting ahead of the curve as far as recruiting in this new stage that we're in. But I think that has a huge reason as to why Tennessee is kind of surging up the recruiting boards.
What was the biggest gripe for a lot of players against Butch Jones? Among several things, but what was the one that stuck out the most?
Just being misled. I mean, you had the whole Jalen Hurd situation where you're going to get to play receiver and...
Honesty.
Yeah.
Or lack thereof. I mean, what's the highest praise that you hear from players about Jeremy Pruitt?
Right.
There you go.
Hey, the Panthers just signed Eli Apple.
Eli Apple?
Yeah.
See, with is that from the Giants? Used to play for the Giants? Is that yep. right?
He played for the Giants. He played for another team, too, didn't he?
Corner from Ohio State. Went to the Saints for two seasons.
That's so, big news. Going to the Panthers. I don't know. I feel like the NFC South is going to be a. I don't know. I feel like it's going to be right up there with the toughest division in football. I would say either the NFC South or the West.
Certainly top to bottom in terms of quarterbacks. I think it's head and shoulders above the rest of the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see what Teddy Bridgewater can do. I think he's going to be great, but we'll see what he can do outside of the Saints organization.
Yeah.
I like the Panthers as a potential playoff team.
But what's another division in the NFL, and I might be, you know, there might be an obvious one, but it's just not off the top of my head, that has three franchise quarterbacks. I mean, franchise quarterbacks that have been there for years and you can count will be the starter for coming years.
I mean, maybe the West if you count Goff, maybe.
I would count Goff.
Maybe the North if you want to count Matthew Stafford still. With Rodgers, Cousins, Stafford.
But yeah, I think the South's gonna be a tough division. All right, 865-546-8200. Last call for phone calls as we take our final break of the week. Talk Sports coming up in about 15 minutes. We'll take a quick break, come back, and wrap things up. You're listening to The Blitz on Fan Run Radio. I'm just watching old Bandit run. Keep your foot hard on the pedal. Some never mind them brakes. Let it all hang out. 10:49, final segment of The Blitz on this Friday. Close the show out like we usually do with a little If You Haven't Heard. Charlie, you got one that you want to start out with?
Yes, Brandon, I do.
Great.
Let me take you to Delhi, India.
Delhi, India?
Yeah, I feel like it's New Delhi, but just without the new, so I guess there's also a Delhi. I don't know.
Hmm. Well, that doesn't seem like a place where I'd want to go, but all right.
Well, here's the headline. This comes from Sky News. Coronavirus.
Are they reputable?
Yeah, they're the most reputable news source probably in the world.
Great.
Brandon.
Great. I just want to make sure that
coronavirus. Monkeys escape with COVID-19 samples after attacking a lab assistant. One of the primates was reportedly later spotted up in the tree chewing on one of the sample collection kits.
Oh.
A group of A group of primates launched their assault near Marut Medical College.
What are they just, is this like Planet of the Apes? They're strategically planning. They got a gorilla over here. They got the orangutan.
That's the best phrase so far in the article. Launched the assault.
Oh my goodness.
According to local media, the animals then snatched several COVID-19 blood test samples that had been taken from three patients and then fled.
It's like they were looking for it. It's like they knew exactly. They've been scoping this place out for weeks.
One of the monkeys was later spotted in the tree chewing on one.
No.
Latest example of highly intelligent red-faced rhesus mackies
Rhesus
taking
monkeys.
Advantage of the India's nationwide lockdown to combat the spread of coronavirus. So they've been taking advantage of this long before this planned assault, apparently, according to this article.
So the monkey was in a tree chewing on it?
After they stole it.
It probably broke the whatever it was in.
It's just drinking COVID blood.
And then now it's probably infected, and now it's going to mutate.
It probably has a taste for human flesh now.
I would imagine primates can contract COVID-19 and spread it.
Well, yeah. I mean, and apparently it started from a bat, or that's what we're told. I don't know.
While they've proved an increasing problem in the urban areas of the country in recent years, Lockdown measures in the last 2 months are believed to have emboldened the monkeys. The monkeys are getting
confidence. They're not afraid now.
They've been congregating in parts of Delhi that they normally did not congregate in that were crowded with humans in the past. They've been getting ballsy. They've adapted to live in close contact with people. They've struggled in the absence of human food. And they're starting to get desperate. They've been breaking into homes.
It's just like the rats. It's just like the rats. Oh.
I mean.
It's no good. It's no good. We need to get the people back out there. Keep the monkeys away.
Maybe the monkeys are going to do their own research, and that's why they needed the COVID samples.
I doubt it. I doubt the monkeys will do much good.
Maybe the monkeys solve COVID.
If you haven't heard, new Broncos running back Melvin Gordon is not concerned about not playing in front of fans. He said regarding his time in L.A., we didn't have fans anyway. We didn't have many Chargers fans at the games, so I'm not missing much.
That's good. Chance?
In case you haven't heard, we've had a lot of firsts during this COVID-19 and quarantine, but the first time in its 124-year history, the Boston Marathon has been canceled. It was originally pushed back till September, but they have now canceled the race.
Yeah, that's a big one. I remember, they have it the year after the Boston Marathon bombing. But yeah, first time, 124 years. It's a long time.
In case you haven't heard, soccer leagues around Europe making their return. La Liga coming back June 11th. The Italian Serie A coming back June 20th. And the Premier League coming back June 17th, following suit of the Bundesliga in Germany, which has already made its return a week or two ago. You weren't going to let me on here 2 hours without a little bit of soccer.
Yeah, wait, are you a soccer guy?
I am.
Is he?
I thought
soccer
I liked
guy.
You. Damn it.
Yeah, I kind of figured that. That's why I didn't go with that one. I'd let you take the soccer. But yeah, I mean, you've got all these soccer leagues coming back over in Europe. Now we just need some American sports to give us a restart date.
Well, speaking of soccer, right?
Oh.
In case you haven't heard, a Danish team in Danish Superliga, AGF Aarhus, played in front
of
a virtual. No, I pronounced
it. I'll let it slide.
Exceedingly well. Played in front of a virtual Zoom crowd, in their return to their home stadium. So they set up TVs, screens all around the outside of the field, like in the first couple rows of the stadium, and then they had 10,000 fans put on a Zoom call, so they could be at the game and cheer and everything else. And it looks really weird. You need to look up a tweet.
Zoom is the biggest winner of this entire pandemic.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? 10,000 people in one call?
I didn't know they had the bandwidth to pull that off.
Props.
Zoom is like Zoom's been around for a long time. Nobody ever used like the only time I'd ever even heard of Zoom was for one of my classes in college. We had to get on a Zoom call.
Yeah, I hadn't heard of it until 2020, until this all started. But it's better than Korean cardboard cutouts.
I don't know. We're on this show, Lucas. We're big fans of the Rakuten Monkeys.
Yeah,
and they're the ones that started the. They weren't using cardboard cutouts. They were using the mannequins.
Oh right, yeah.
I prefer the sex dolls.
Let me
the Zoom audio. Are you saying that 10,000? Like computers in seats?
So they have like a board of computer that's just, or a screen that's just going all the way around and little boxes and all
okay,
of them. You just have fans on Zoom call.
Oh, wow.
On just one giant little meeting.
Right. That sounds intense. Anybody else got one more? Maybe we got time for a quick one. If not.
Hey, Brandon, your favorite team, the Buffalo Sabres?
Yeah, what about them?
Well, their star player, Jack Eichel, has formally requested a trade.
That's outstanding.
Don't remember you being a Sabres fan.
I'm not.
Okay.
I hate the Sabres. I think they're the least relevant franchise in American sports. But that's going to do it for us. Thanks, Lucas, for sitting in. For Chance Collins, for Charlie Collier, I'm Brandon Ork. You've been listening to The Blitz. Stay tuned. Talk Sports. John and Cody coming up after this.